for the benefit of those with flash photography.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to DreamWork.
Welcome, 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 welcome.
This is my way of getting Cheech involved in the intro.
Come one, come all.
I'm probably not going to do an intro this week. I'm just going to, it's just going to go music straight into that.
That's fine.
You guys, this is a podcast where us, a tag team, talks about a tag team.
You damn right.
And not like the band tag team. Can you call them a band? They're a musical act.
I don't know, but I'm just saying one day if we veer off into other tag teams, like one week we cover like Bert and Ernie, things like that. I'm just saying.
Wow. A whole new world. I never even thought of this. Just duos in general.
Yeah, you know, they were a great tag team. I'm just saying.
I can't wait for the Casey and JoJo episode.
But this week we got a couple of hashtag dem boys to talk about.
That's right, Sandy Fork's finest, Mark and Jay, the Briscoe brothers.
Yeah, not those old ancient ones. We're talking about modern day ass kicking. We're talking Mark and Jay.
I was gonna say, did you what do you call them? Do you call them the Briscoe brothers or do you just call them the Briscoes?
Both, to be honest.
Yeah, I think I'm more familiar with calling them the Briscoes, but Briscoe Brothers comes up a lot.
Yeah, but I agree. Yeah, I think it's a little more, you know, nowadays you probably just hear Briscoes, and then, yeah, if you say Briscoe Brothers, I assume people probably think you're talking about the Elder Duo.
Right, that's what I thought too. But either one in a search will come up with Mark and Jay at this point.
Well, no, there is the distinction. These two that we're covering have Briscoe with an E at the end.
Right. Correct. Yes, they do.
Yep, that's the big distinction, thus making it easier to search for everybody.
Yeah. And this a team that both of us have wrestled, correct?
Yeah. That was the funny part. I was like, oh, yeah, we have technically, yeah, we've wrestled both. Now, okay, I remember mine was me and Cloudy versus them at an ROH TV tapings. What was your instance again?
2CW in Watertown with me and Jimmy.
Ah, gotcha.
It was, I believe, me and Jimmy's very last tag team match together.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, not a bad one to go out against, I guess, right?
I know, yeah. So, yeah, we both have experience. I also wrestled Mark singles on Ring of Honor TV one time.
That's the one. I was like, I feel like there was something where you interacted with them in ROH. Okay, it was a singles with them. Okay, got it.
Singles with Mark. So, yes, we have a little bit of experience with this Briscoe brothers, these Briscoe brothers, dem boys.
Yes.
All right, let's get to some preliminary thoughts. I shot you some teams. This was the one that you decided you liked the best. What are your preliminary thoughts here?
My preliminary thoughts were I was excited because, like, we knew we were going to get to this team eventually. Like, you know what I mean? When you talk great tag teams, especially in the modern era, they are definitely up there, despite not being, you know, in the big two or three ever. But I was excited, and what got me even more excited was when you had pitched me all those teams, I was like, all right, let me do a little preliminary search, see what I could find. And, like, I typed them into YouTube, and so many things popped up. I was like, I don't even need to check any of the other teams. I was like, oh, this is it. I was excited because I was like, I didn't know there was that much volume.
Yeah, we sometimes run into a little bit of a block on teams for lack of ability to find matches to watch, you know?
Exactly. But this team, it's weird because it's, yes, there were a ton, but B, there were a ton that we couldn't get to. Like, they've just been around forever, which we'll get to, but, like, yeah, like as we're saying, preliminary thoughts, when I saw that, I was like, all right, cool, there'll be a lot to check out. But even then, still going through, I was like, boy, there's a lot that's not out there still, too.
Yeah, my preliminary thoughts when I pitched it, I've kind of just been saving them.
Right.
Because it's a great team, and I know they have so much good stuff. So I was kind of hanging on to them, but, you know, got to a point where, you know, we don't want to keep going to the big two or three, and we want to try and do more Ring of Honor teams, more indie teams, and whew, this is the one.
Yeah, it definitely is. This is most definitely the one.
Okay, so let's go into their championships and accomplishments.
I'm sure they've got a few.
So right off the top, let's just start with the fact that they are 11-time Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, man, that's crazy, but... That's crazy, but also not crazy.
Right, right, right. Like, it's a crazy number, but when you think about it, I kind of think they should have more.
Right? When you think about talent plus longevity, 11 isn't that crazy.
They were also GHC Junior Tag Champs in NOAH.
Yep, yep.
They were IWGP Tag Champs in New Japan.
Okay.
They had two CZW tag title reigns, one FIP tag title reign, and one 2CW tag title reign.
Oh, there you go. Okay, good for them. They got around. Well, but
in addition to being the 2007 Wrestling Observer Tag Team of the Year.
Okay.
I was kind of surprised by the year, I guess.
I mean, here's the thing, like, they had competition.
Yeah, that's the year that they won the GHC Junior Tag titles, I believe.
I believe so as well.
So I guess it makes sense. But yeah, that's a lot. 11 Ring of Honor. They were IWGP. They were GHC. Jay, also a 2-time Ring of Honor World Champion.
And rightfully so.
And with Bully Ray, they were Ring of Honor 6-man champs.
Okay.
And with Toru Yano, they were never open weight 6-man champs or whatever.
So you said Toru Yano, I go, the never weight?
The never weight. Yeah, whatever the 6-man titles were there. So they've also got those under their belt.
Yeah, they got a lot of gold and silver, because some of them are silver.
So before we get into what matches we watched, I just wanted to point out, I don't think it's stressed enough or spoken about enough, their run in Ring of Honor and how long it was and still is.
I was going to say, and is.
It's been 20 years.
Well, yeah, it's 20 years. ROH hasn't been around 20 years, but yeah, they've been together for over 20 years.
Well, what's Ring of Honor? Ring of Honor started in what year?
03. Or 02.
02,
yeah, it was 02.
So we are coming on 20 years of the Briscoes in Ring of Honor.
I know. But yeah, I remember in watching one of the matches, they mentioned that, I think they debuted in 01, so yeah, 20 years.
Like, we... The wrestling world celebrated 30 years of The Undertaker like it was this monumental lifetime achievement award, unbelievable feat. But we are approaching 20 of the Briscoes in Ring of Honor.
Yeah. And
straight
like,
through.
Here's the other thing you got to realize. 20 years of, and like, the style they wrestle.
Yes.
That's the big thing. They've been doing this for 20 years, but they're also like really good, really talented, and also have crazy matches. So it's not like, you know what I mean? It's not like they had 20 years of like 4 to 6 minute TV matches and, you know, they were, you know, stretching their wings and, you know, just relaxing out there.
No, they lived through early Ring of Honor, which is the head drop era of all head drop eras.
Yeah, and they were around on the indies before that when it was crazy in places like CZW. Like, yeah, their longevity, which is still going, and that's the thing. When you think people putting over longevity, like, oh, they've been done for a while. Yeah, like, no, their longevity is so much that they're still going, and we're putting over their longevity.
Yeah, because they're not that old.
I know, not at all, because they started wrestling when they're, oh my God, one of the matches I was doing the math, I was like, yo, Mark's got to be legit 16. And I was just like, I couldn't picture wrestling that young. That's just me.
I started at 16.
I was going to say, you can.
But yeah. All right. I just wanted to get that out of the way first, because it was when I really started thinking about it, I was like, this is blowing my mind.
Well, you'll see it when we go through the matches and you give the years of these matches.
Yeah. All right. So let's go. What do you got? What'd you watch?
Okay. I got, first off, it was ROH, them versus Special K. I looked it up. It was January of 2003 when they won their first tag titles. It was main event spectacles. It was funny because, like, I was watching it on YouTube and they won't give all the info. They're kind of vague. They're like, this match happened in 2003. And as I'm watching the match, I'm just doing the math in my head. I'm like, I'm looking at things and hearing the commentary. I go, oh, it's main event spectacles 2003. That was just my weird nerdiness. Then Rock and Roll Express from PWS, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, not the ROH NWA one. From 2013, so that's a whole 10 years later. Then their TNA match versus Divine Storm, their NOAH match versus Marufuji and Sugara in 2008, their another NOAH match versus Kota Ibushi and Katsuhiko Nakajima in September of 2008, so it's a couple months after the other one. An ROH Best in the World, I think it was 2018, versus Dragon Lee and Rush. Then their match from in ROH War of the Worlds 2015 versus Okada and Nakamura. Then ROH Anarchy in the UK versus Davey Richards and Matt Sydal from 2006. Then I went back to NOAH versus Kotaro Suzuki or Kotaro and Ricky Marvin from 2007 in January 2007. Then them versus Motor City Machine Guns from Good Times Great Memories in ROH 07, I think that says. Then them versus the Hardys in Omega in 2014. Then them versus War Machine on ROH TV in 2015. Then I went old school. I went them versus Youth Gone Wild, which is Insane Dragon and Lil Dixie from Jersey All Pro at the Arena in 2001. Then them in CZW versus Red and Joel Maximo in CZW February 01, then versus the Backseat Boys in the Arena, CZW 03, peak CZW, and that was my run. I could have kept going. Like, I really had to, like, limit myself.
Oh, I'm the same way. You went a little harder than I did, too, but I was the same way where I was like, okay, I gotta stop. Because Ring of Honor, they've been doing that Throwback Thursday thing for a while, and I feel like they hit the Briscoes just about every at least once every other month.
Yeah, like legit, I thought to myself, I was like, I could just go straight ROH and I'm talking about like not hidden dark web. I'm talking like what they give you was a bunch.
Yeah, so I also watched the Divine Storm match from NWA TNA.
Okay.
I watched their first ROH title win against Izzy and Dixie from 2003. I watched them against AJ Styles and the Amazing Red.
Oh, you found
2002. I watched the Machine Guns match from 07. I watched the Ibushi Nakajima match from 07. I watched them versus the Headbangers from Ring of Honor. I watched them versus Adam Cole and Davey Richards from a PWS show. I watched them versus the Bucks from New Japan in 2016. I watched them versus Okada and Nakamura from Ring of Honor War of the Worlds. I watched them versus Ultimo Guerrero and Rey Bucanero from Ring of Honor. I watched them versus Future Shock, Cole and O'Reilly from Ring of Honor. And then I watched them versus Jushin Liger and Flip Gordon from Ring of Honor.
Wow, man. Good on you. That was a heck of a run.
Yeah. So I started with the early, and then I just kind of jumped around, you know, because I wanted to start with some of that early stuff. But then once I got to like the 07 stuff, I was like, okay, now we're off and running. It's the Briscoes. They are what they are, who they are. They are here. They are, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I also was kind of trying to go. I was going to jump around, but I wanted to make sure I hit like at least all the eras and stuff. But even then, like, you could get bogged down in like the 06, 07, 08 stuff real easily. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure, because that's when they first went to the shorts. They had the big long shorts. They went to that look. They were out of the singlets.
Yep, and they were having good matches, and they had all those matches over in Japan and stuff. So yeah, there was a lot. I was like, boy, you could easily, but I was like, no. I want to make sure to watch some of the recent stuff too.
Oh, dude, I'm excited to hear you talk about the Ricky Marvin match because that was the one that I didn't get, and I'm regretting it.
Oh, Colin. I know I didn't hear it in there. Oh, me, oh, my. That is the height. Like, let me go to the notes. Let's just go straight there, then. Let's go straight there. Where's the one note? I go, this is the Noah I love. It's moves by Ricky, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, that era, Ricky Marvin. Because I was like, oh, Briscoe's. Oh, Ricky Marvin. That, like, 2007, 2008 Ricky Marvin is like, that's peak.
Brother. We may just, here's the thing. I believe there probably is enough straight Ricky and Kotaro stuff. I believe so. I think there's like a playset or something of their matches or something. But like, and that's the thing. They were only together for like 2 years, I looked up. But like, especially like, it's just, you people don't understand. If you didn't know Noah going crazy at that time, and this little Mexican who went in there and figured out like Japanese psychology, but also got all of his shit in as a luchador and shit, like that match is bonkers. Like, and the Briscoes are like, oh yeah, we've got 1,000 moves as well. Let's just go. Like, it's crazy. Like, it starts with this big lucha shine by the Briscoes taking a bunch of stuff, ending in some big, huge double simultaneous dive. Then later there's a spot where Kotaro puts Mark on top, and he's standing behind him, and he's about to do, you know, the swivel in front, Rana. But no. Mark runs and then jumps, leaps to the top, starts getting on him. Ricky follows, gives him a reverse Rana off the top, and then Kotaro turns around, hits the top rope Rana. It's insane, and it's just a high spot. It's like, oh, it's a hope spot in the first, like, 10 minutes, you know, but they go, like, 20-plus. It's ridiculous. And then, like, there's Doomsday is plus we'll get to it. Doomsday, their Doomsday spot got countered a bunch, but this match is one of the ones where it's crazy. It's Ricky jumps up and gives Jay the Rana as he's trying to springboard for the clothesline, and then the other guy gives the other guy the reverse Rana. Like, it's crazy.
Holy smokes. Yeah, that so I have no problem, like, you know, you don't want your big move to get countered by everybody, but I don't really have a problem with them getting the Doomsday countered a bunch, because when they did hit it, it was still the finish, and you know, it's the Doomsday device, you're still going to buy it.
And the thing is that it was most prevalent in the Japan matches, but that's Japan matches. You're going to tease your finish three times and hang on the fourth time, and it's going to win. You know what I mean?
Right. So I was thinking about this pretty quickly in this exercise. The Briscoes might be a perfect example to give to, like, just young wrestlers in general, to go from – to just show them Briscoes against Divine Storm – and then show them Briscoes against the Machine Guns from 07, and then show them Briscoes against Cole and O'Reilly from 15. You know, like, in the beginning, they are all young wrestlers.
Absolutely.
And it's such a whatever, like, it was a fun watch to watch the transformation.
It's a fun watch, even inadvertently. The first match I watched was the ROH match versus Insane Dragon and Dixie. And then I watched the one a couple years earlier from the arena. And the arena one is just like hot garbage. Like, they're just straight kids just literally doing moves. No rhyme, no reason. Here's the thing, though. The crowd is eating it up. Like, they did some spot that I was just like, okay, it's borderline okay. And the crowd's going bonkers. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, I mean, the Divine Storm match, it's pretty choppy. Bad. It's pretty choppy. And at times it's like, it's off the rails. But, you know, at the time, that was, I hate to sound like Grandpa Simpson, but like, that was the thing at the time.
Yeah, but I think here's the thing. I think in hindsight, we thought it was the thing just because we were like, oh my God, indie guys who do cool indie moves are on a nationally televised pay-per-view product. Wow. I don't think if anybody went like brass tacks and looked at that and was like, oh, that match was great. It was like, no, it wasn't. We were excited about the match because of who was in it. Like, Mark does a flip dive onto nothing.
Yeah.
Like, lands on his feet and then jumps at the guy. And then Devine messes up, like, both of his high spots with Jay. And I'm just like, oh, boy. But they hit the big, you know, razor's edge neck breaker. And then there's a storm cradle driver. So, of course, we're going to be like, oh, my God, that's the greatest thing.
Right, but as a young wrestler who doesn't necessarily know any better, like, it's all that movement is cool, and like those opens, which made borderline no sense at times, like that you still see guys do opens like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, if you were a young wrestler, you go watch that match, and you're like, this is you. This is where I need you to get, you know, like, not that it's that simple, but like, I just think it would be a good, like, visual way to represent, you know, growth and who you are, like, you know, for these younger wrestlers who are literally still doing stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a great example of evolution, because they definitely do. And they do it. And here's the thing. It's not like it was something like there was no big jump. It was very incremental. They just kept getting better and better and better and better and better.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And like those, you know, like back when they were wrestling Divine Storm, the open would be like, you know, the leapfrog, baseball slide, off the ropes, arm drag, go for the dropkick, gets swatted, it gets pulled up, there's an arm drag, over to the corner, up and over, and it leads to, like, them hitting the Rana, you know?
Yeah, and then standoff or something.
And then stand, and sweep, standoff. But nowadays, they'll still get that Rana in, but they'll get it in a much more, like, smooth, clever way that's like, oh, yeah, you're still hitting the thing that was the end of that spot. That's the only thing people remember, really. But you're not wasting all this time and energy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And trust us, we could definitely talk about that more. But they don't need to know that. Let's just tell them about how good the Briscoes are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, early Divine Storm, it's choppy. But once again, like, they're doing wild stuff. And they, like, caution to the wind. But they're, like, they're kids.
Yeah, as they should be. You know what I mean? Like, everybody, when they're young and crazy, do young, crazy things. And that's what they're doing.
Exactly. And then the Izzy and Dixie match. Cornette's the manager?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's when they were trying to give the Briscoes a little bit of credibility and give them the push. And they're like, oh, now they've got a manager. You know, that was when they really thought they were going to become like Steiner Brothers or something.
Yeah. So there's like some weird disconnect where I feel like they're doing things because
they are.
Cornette's their manager, and that's like what they're being told to do.
Yeah, now suddenly their style is suddenly a little more Southern. It was like, how? Why? Oh, because Cornette's there.
Yeah, yeah. So there were parts of that match where I was like, I don't know.
And I don't understand how Cornette was four, because I'm just confused as to the dynamic of who's good and bad, because, like, I assume Special K are bad, because they're, you know, the whole time the commentary is just burying them as like, oh, they're rich kids with so much potential, but they're wasting it. But they're definitely taking heat and doing the hot tag and getting. And then the commentators, after saying that, then also compare them to Ricky Morton. I go, these are just bad commentators. I'm sorry, Chris Lovey.
Well, yeah. And also, Briscoes almost have their own style of tag team match and psychology.
Yeah, they do. There's a lot of four-way downs.
Yes, they do not follow a typical structure, which I realized pretty quick, I guess. Once you get through like the early stuff, and once they start kind of finding their footing, you realize that they have their own like structure and way they put things together. And it works, and I like it a lot.
That's the thing. What I didn't really dig it so much when they were like, we're straight wrestlers and singlets. When they became more of the crazy characters, it was like, okay, yeah, then a crazier match makes more sense.
Man, it's been a long time since I've watched the Briscoes against AJ Styles and The Amazing Red. Holy smokes.
Where'd you find it? Because I was looking for it, but I didn't go too deep. But I did like a preliminary search and couldn't find it.
It's on Daily Motion.
Okay, that's what I figured. I looked it up in general, and it didn't bring me there. And I was like, I knew if I went there, I could have found it probably.
I haven't seen it in years. That match still to this day is nuts.
Yeah, man. I was there live, I'm pretty sure.
I think I was too, to be honest with you. I if I saw the rest of the card, I could tell you whether or not I was or wasn't there. But I went to a lot of those early Murphy Rec Center shows. So I was trying to look for myself in the crowd. Like, maybe I'll find myself. But I didn't see myself. But still, like, I haven't seen it in a long time. And, like, it makes sense why the match would rule. You know, Jay and Red were, like, the first match of Ring of Honor. And then, you know, Jay and Mark worked with Red a bunch in various places. And then AJ Styles, even back in 2002, was just one of the best wrestlers on the planet.
Exactly, yeah. It was just four guys, right place, right time, right combination. Like, you know what I mean? Like, AJ and Red just seems a little weird, but not in ROH in that time. And it just, yeah, that was crazy.
And the finish, the pop-up, I think it's Mark. Mark's on the top rope, seated, shoves AJ Styles off. Red comes charging. AJ pops him over the head all the way to the top, into the Rana, flips. Styles catches him into the Styles Clash.
It's amazing.
Right when AJ catches Mark and starts to hook him up, they get a wide shot, and you see the crowd, and everybody hits their feet.
Oh, yeah, man.
Such a cool moment.
I was on my feet somewhere across hard cam, usually around, like, fourth row.
And Styles and Red with Alexis Lurie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I watch because I've been – anytime I work out here at home in my place, I throw on some of my old VHSs. And, yeah, I saw an Alexis Lurie match the other day.
One of my favorite – the commentary says during this match about the Briscoes, can you imagine when these guys are eight-year vets? Oh, goodness. That
is the good thing. Like, when you watch their early matches, of course, like, the gimmick is, and rightfully so, that the commentator's like, oh, they're so young, imagine what they'll be. And I was like, oh, no, guess what? You get to see it. Like, they're one of those few teams where it always excites me when I was like, oh, I've seen their whole career.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with Mark and Jay, that's the case. Because, you know, that match with Styles and Red is 2002. It's Ring of Honor. They've been in Ring of Honor for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Together and at a high level. You know, there's like, when you look at their cage match, there are so many matches that I was like, oh, wow, this sounds awesome. You know, like, we watched them against Okada and Nakamura. I watched them against Ultimo Guerrero and Rey Bucanero. There's a match with them in Liger. On their cage match, they wrestled Kenta and Marafuji when they were in the States. Like, they were wrestling everybody. They wrestled Styles and Samoa Joe. You know, that, like, just anybody who's passed through Ring of Honor has wrestled the Briscoes, and that's a lot of people.
Yes, yes, yes. Here was a comparison I drew, that the Briscoes are the Indy Hardys in that they've wrestled everyone.
Yeah, everyone who Ring of Honor's ever had.
Basically. But not even that. You also got a thing like their dalliances in, like, PWG and things like the few times they've gone to Mexico and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? They've also wrestled everyone under the sun also. You know what I mean? Not necessarily, like, they worked Rock and Roll Express, not in ROH ever. You know what I mean?
Right, right, yeah. But I'm just saying, in Ring of Honor, they've been there for 20 years, and Ring of Honor has brought in a bunch of random people throughout the years, and the Briscoes have gotten to wrestle all of them.
Yeah, like, for example, I was trying to look up if it was possible to find one of the matches they had with, and I remembered the pairing being Naruki Doi and Susumu, but Yokosuka, or Mochizuki, whichever one. And then I looked it up, and I was like, oh, let me see which Dragon Gate. Oh, no, they wrestled basically the entire Dragon Gate roster as they eventually came through ROH, and when they did, I think they worked one of them in PWG as well. So I'm just saying, like, you got the New Japan guys. You got it when they went to NOAH. Then you got the Dragon Gate guys when they came to ROH. You got the Luchadors when they came to ROH nowadays. Like, you know what I mean? The Rush and Dragon Lee match, that's a crazy match because – when would that ever happen? It was like, oh, now in modern day ROH has luchadors now that you wouldn't suspect.
Yeah, and so, you know, when I'm watching them early on, you know, you can see it's all there. They were a step above even a lot of these other teams and people who were around in that early 2000s era.
For example, one of the matches I watched was the CZW one where it was Red and Joel before even Jose came around. But even then, you're watching the match and like the commentators are kind of putting it over how like, oh, the Briscoes thought, oh, we're going to be the young team to come in here. And then all of a sudden, these two guys come out of nowhere from Brooklyn. I was like, wow, the SAT really should have been like their generational rivals. But that just goes to show you how good the Briscoes are, that they never fell off. You know what I mean? Think about how long ago the SAT disappeared almost. You know what I mean? Like, they've been gone for 10 years.
Right. Yeah. No.
So it's crazy that when you watch it young, you're like, oh, look at all these teams. Or, like, same thing. Okay, this one was sad. When I watched the Backseat Boys match, I was like, oh, the Backseat Boys, like, that was their, like, indie rivals. And then I was like, oh, wait, like, Trent's not even around anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. That's been a while, too.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Once again, their longevity, but like there are all these teams along the way that you were like, oh, this is going to be, or like the matches when they were beating up on Davey Richards, you're like, oh no, these guys are going to fight forever. And it's like, nope, Davey's gone. You know what I mean? Like, but who stayed the course? The two brothers from Sandy Fork. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And we were just talking about all the different pairings and teams and from Japan, from Mexico, from anywhere you could name of all different styles. And the Briscoes, not only did they wrestle them all, but adapted to wrestle them all well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's just get to the fact that they separately, like, we'll just look at them as people, like, they're really good wrestlers on their own right. You know what I mean? It's funny. Did you notice? I think it's odd that Jay's more well-rounded, like, because Jay can do chain wrestling where Mark doesn't. Like, that was the only thing that I saw where I was like, oh, there's a distinct difference.
Yes, yes, for sure. But Mark does, I don't know if he chain wrestles per se, but he can do enough to get by.
Oh, exactly. But you know what I mean? Like, whenever there's, like, mat wrestling or tussling like that, it's always Jay.
But Jay's got that roll forward, kick the arm, roll through, drop toe hold in his back pocket.
And that's the other thing. Jay's incredibly well-rounded. That's why I'm just saying. The only thing that gives him the thing is because he does chaining. But the fact that, like, he can chain, he can do high spots. He can do flips if he wanted. You know what I mean? He can do arm drags. But then he could also do head drops and strong style. I like the matches, the one match I saw him versus the Rock and Roll. He's totally going old school and being a little more bombastic with his selling and then making, you know, Rock and Roll. Like, it was like a 7-minute match. So, like, the in, out, you know what I mean? Does everything, like, definitely did an old school ass match. You know what I mean? Like, he could do it all. And then Mark's just a phenomenal wrestler, crazy athletic because he'll do crazy stuff with his athleticism. And eventually he found a character that's just crazy. And, like, it's like, they're, yes, they're characters, but they're not really if you've ever met them.
Right, right. Well, that's the other part. They, I was like, I don't have time, but I really wanted to dig into their promos. They have such great promos down on the farm there in Sandy Fork.
There's a playlist of them.
I mean, there has to be. I would just put that on in the background and live my life just fine with that all the time. I've said before, they should have a reality show. I would watch the shit out of that.
Oh, definitely. But back to those promos, like, when you had said earlier that, oh, yeah, and Jay's also been a 2-time world champion, I was like, and rightfully so. Like, the man's cutting money promos with passion, with inflection, with his own style, you know what I mean? It's just amazing. And then you add friggin' the Sussex County Chicken getting crazy, like, it's just like, it worked out so good for us, the fans. You know what I mean? Like, part of me when I was watching it, how did you feel when I was like, part of me is happy they didn't make it to the big time because then they did literally get to wrestle everyone that ever came through the indies. But then part of me is like, that's the only spot where they're missing is like, oh, there is no like Briscoes versus like Randy Orton or anything. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Did you think it was bad? Do you think it was a hindrance at all?
No, I don't. I don't know if they would have been wrestling a Randy Orton, though, you know?
I don't know, man. Like, they're a team where they're, I don't know, I think in a land where, because they've got size and they've got characters, I think they may have been undeniable if they got a chance. Maybe. Who knows? We'll never know. But I think there's a strong chance they could have been undeniable.
Yeah, I rethought it quickly, and I was like, never mind. Like, I don't know. You get, I still think you could get the right set of eyes on that and make $1 billion.
Like you said, you'd watch a reality show, and then, like, that's because they're great characters, but they're also phenomenal wrestlers, so let's also have them wrestle, you know what I mean? Someone needs to, you know, make a little bit more cash out of them.
Yeah, for sure. You were talking about the Rock and Roll Express match and how they were, like, you know, flip-flop flying around and working hard. I felt the same way about the Headbangers match.
Oh, okay. I saw that one, but I didn't get a chance to get to it. Because like I said, I had to make sure I got it was tough. Like we said, they got a long career, so it was tough to make sure I got a little bit of everything.
They're taking big bumps for the Headbangers and just, like, to a degree, like, going out of their way to make the Headbangers look good. But on the other half of it, the Headbangers are working hard.
Oh, yeah, that's the one thing. Like, well, especially like the match I saw that they had the Hardys, too. It's like the other teams know that they're in there with one of the best teams. So they also, even, you know, great teams like the Rock and Roll Express were like, oh, no, we got to bring our A game. Like, these are some good motherfuckers.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Did you watch them against the Bucks at all?
No, because I had seen it before, like when we had done the Bucks and stuff.
Okay. I've never seen this one before. It's from New Japan in 2016, and they are wearing ghillie suit pants.
Okay. Yeah. They got crazy, man. They got I love their brown and black boots. I like the whole motif.
They're straight up wearing Swamp Monster bottoms.
Yeah.
It was borderline distracting.
Was it as distracting as the Noah match where they're wearing Confederate flags?
No, that was awesome, by the way. For the time, I was like, ooh, look at these two. Ooh.
No, I know. For the time, they looked good just because it was the first time you saw them in, like, nice shiny gear and stuff. You're like, okay. But now you're like, the Confederate flag, maybe not so much.
Do you think so? Something about them in Japan seemed to not totally click. Did you get that impression?
Not at all. I wanted to get
really
to it. Here was the okay, because they weren't there long enough. If they stayed in Noah, they would eventually have been Hanson and Brody. I think it's a smaller chance, but I think there was definitely a chance.
So in my head, them in Japan makes all the sense in the world that they would blow up and be like a big deal because there's nothing like them in Japan. Japan's never seen anything like that.
Well, and that's what Japan wants. Japan wants big, crazy Americans.
Yeah, so in my head, it seems to work. But what I watch? I watch Kota Ibushi and Nakajima. I watch that one.
Uh-huh.
As far as Noah goes. And definitely early in the match, the crowd, like, they're very American indie with their, like, combos and whatnot.
Yes.
And the crowd was just like, and, huh?
Yeah, I see what you mean. But here's the thing. I feel like that match is also a little weird because Kota and Nakajima are kind of outsiders, too. So it's kind of like two outsider-y type teams. Even though, yes, they were Japanese, they were more domestic. But, you know what I mean? I felt that one, I just wanted to see that one just for the athletics, but I felt like, yeah, the pairing there was a little odd.
The go home was crazy.
Oh, of course, because, I mean, Kota than a Kota.
Yeah, so that one was, the finish is great. I felt like the crowd was a little whatever in the beginning parts, like, not sure if this is really for them. Like, not, the crowd was like, I don't know. And then the Young Bucks one in New Japan in 2016, kind of the same deal, like, they were popping for certain things, but then other things that are usually, like, pretty good reactions were just, like, almost silence. And I was like, oh, weird.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't feel like they've ever been there long enough to get established. I feel like if they did get established, they'd be great. And that's the thing. Like, by the time they get to the Ricky Marvin Kotaro, even though, wait. Oh, that was even earlier. That was the year before? Let me see.
The Ibushi and Nakajima one is 07.
Okay. But yeah, I don't know. I felt like they definitely got better acquainted like with the style and stuff. But I just felt like if they got a chance to stay there for like a year or two, I think they only did a few Noah tours. They never got like super entrenched because, you know what I mean? Like same reason I guess they kind of didn't ever went to the big time. You know, they're very at home family men and they got, you know, their own business at home and things like that. So I assume that's why they never, you know, got to like homestead in any Japanese company. But I feel like if they did, there was a chance they'd blow up.
Yeah, no, I believe that too. Yeah, I think I saw it looked like two tours of Noah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So it wasn't long enough to get like fully entrenched, but they had great matches when they were there.
Yeah, no, for sure. And like I said, going into it, I was like, oh yeah, this works. 100% this works. This has to work.
Now, okay, I made the mistake of watching the Kotaro and Marvin match before the Motor City Machine Gun match. What's your opinion of the one that's online? The one, I'm assuming we watched the same one, Good Times, Great Memories.
The Machine Guns match?
Yeah, when they're in the little shorts.
I liked it. It's it's kind of just like, here's our stuff, here's your stuff. A little bit of that.
Uh-huh. Did you find the Machine Guns to be a little douchey?
Okay, so yeah, I did note Machine Guns seem to be controlling the match and almost noticeably, you know?
Yeah, I have thoughts.
They're almost doing things like
wrestling.
Yeah, and like wrestling themselves at times, like putting themselves in things. And I was like, that's weird.
Yeah, that's what they did. They went through some weird phase where they were like, we're above everyone. We're better than all this. We're just going to wrestle each other. And we're just going to do all the spots we've stolen from everyone else.
I watched that one on the elliptical today. So my opinion of it is probably a little flawed because I wasn't just sitting and watching it. You know, my heart rate's up and I'm running to the beat here. But I did enjoy it.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. At the end of the day, it was a good match. But I was like, okay, it feels like the like Machine Guns are in just for the night, and they're doing their own thing. They're TNA guys. It's just a shot. They're going to get in, do their thing, and get out, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Make sure they get theirs. Like, I saw all the smarmy haterade criticisms people had back then were a little bit more, I don't know, maybe just apparent in this match, maybe?
Yeah, no, like I said, I did make note that they controlled the match. The Machine Guns seemed to control the match at times and almost like blatantly, like you shouldn't be able to necessarily to the naked eye see that one team is like trying to do it on their own.
Now, when you're on the elliptical, can you hear commentary?
Yes.
Okay. Cause definitely Prazak and Leonard, Prazak definitely goes out of his way to be like, oh yeah, they're full of themselves. Like at a certain point he's like blah blah blah, he's like, oh yeah, and if you know Alex Shelley's on the show, he definitely thinks he's the best or something like that. And I was like, oh okay, so commentary just calls it out too, I guess.
Yeah, so for me, I got in the early stuff and then I got in some of like the 07, some of the Japan stuff, and then like my go home run was Okada Nakamura, Ultimo Guerrero, Rey Bucanero, Colin O'Reilly, and Flip Gordon and Jushin Liger. And it was like all of those matches could not have been farther from each other.
Oh, okay. Where are they now? Okay. See, I did the opposite. I bounced around, and then for the go-home, I hit the old school stuff. I was like, because I did a lot of ROH, so I was like, okay, let me see. And that's why I got, like, CZW and Jersey All-Pro at the end.
But what you kind of notice, especially when they're working guys like Ultimo Guerrero and Rey Bucanero, they are so good at working what is definitely Ultimo Guerrero and Rey Bucanero's format of match, but making it a Briscoe style match. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's the thing. They blend really well. And one thing I noticed, which helps them blend really well, they don't lose credibility by taking moves. You know what I mean? Like for a team that's big and tough and scary, like they'll definitely take a million moves.
Yeah, for sure. But they in a lot of those matches with, you know, guys like that, like Okada and Nakamura, like Ultimo Guerrero and Rey Bucanero, you know, when you're working a team like that, you're going to kind of let them do the format of match that they know best, right?
Yeah.
And it's easy to get lost in that and not do your stuff because, you know, because you're doing their format of a match. But they just blend seamlessly.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. They're, once again, because they're such well-rounded, like, wrestlers. You know what I mean? Like, if we took away all the characters that were just like, all right, as two physical entities, they're good at wrestling. So, yeah, they could adapt their work in luchadors or strong-style guys from Japan, or they even had good Dragon Gate matches, which is a mixture of both. You know what I mean? Like, they're definitely comfortable wherever they are. And I think what also helps that, too, is, yeah, they can get their moves in, but even if they don't, they can just rely on, like, their characters, too.
Right. That's a huge thing. They know who they are.
Oh, 1,000%. And always did. Like, I even respect them in their singlets when they're like, no, 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 we're almost kind of like a wannabe Steiners type thing. Not just because they have singlets, but more so that, like, their brothers were similar, we wrestler a similar style. You know what I mean? Even when they were just telling that story, I liked that presentation. I definitely like it now when, you know, they're two crazy, like, redneck hillbillies with, you know, hillbilly kung fu and all that stuff. That's amazing. But even when they were just like, no, we're straight-laced wrestlers and singlets, even that worked.
Yeah, they've definitely, I don't even know if, like, evolved is the right word, but they kind of just flowed with it. Like, they never get, what they're doing never gets old, it never gets boring. They kind of shift into other, you know, like the redneck kung fu thing. It doesn't overpower and take over what they're doing, but it's a new little wrinkle that keeps them fresh.
Exactly, because the thing is, they've definitely evolved, and they never got outlandish. Like, we've known them their whole lives, basically. We saw them. They looked like two, like, we didn't know their personalities, but they just looked like two football players or high school football players, and that's what they were. That's what the Briscoe brothers were for, like, the first 5 years. They were like, we're brothers, we look alike, we play sports, yay. But then, you know, as you grow up, you find yourself, oh, they love to hunt. They love to wear camouflage. They love to spit tobacco. They raise chickens. Like, you find out about their lives. You know what I mean? It wasn't like one day they suddenly were like vampires. You know what I mean? So it's easy to just follow them through all the way to, oh, yeah, he is kind of a hillbilly. Oh, he does do athletic kicks. Okay, puts it together. He's got hillbilly kung fu. Cool.
Yeah. So knowing who you are can be somebody's biggest detriment or their, like, the biggest reason for their success. And in the Briscoes' case, it's the latter. They're very headstrong and know what they are and what they do and can do it with literally anybody. I remember wrestling Mark and Jay, and me and Jimmy at the time, we did a wheelbarrow into a powerbomb neckbreaker. And we were just, not to pull the curtain back too far, but we were describing this move, and they, like, the idea of doing a wheelbarrow on their own, they were like, oh yeah, that'd be real funny. We go out there and do this new move we never done before, a wheelbarrow. And we were like, oh yeah, you probably wouldn't just hop into a wheelbarrow because that's not your thing. Whereas other people would just be like, yeah, I can do it. I'll do it.
Yeah, no, they're great. I remember when I wrestled them, I just remember they were, like we had talked about, they have no problem taking moves. Like, it was obviously sort of a squash match that me and Cloudy were having with them, but no, they were all like, oh no, what do you do? Let's do some cool moves. And then at the end, I think it was almost like, oh, we did too much, but it was like, it wasn't our idea.
Right. One of the last matches I watched, and one of my favorite matches, was them against a super young Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. Because you can tell that match, like, once again, they're good at working other people's structure. You know, if they got to flow into a match because Jushin Liger's in it and he put it together and formatted it, then they'll just fill their stuff in. But when they have, like, a team, like a young team like Cole and O'Reilly, and they can go nuts with them, and you can tell they're a little bit more in the driver's seat, that is the most fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's best when they're, like, the vets and they're dominating and they can tell that story.
Right, because you know, the other ones, they're good, they're fine. Like the Flip Gordon and Jushin Liger one, it's like the perfect. They just did it exactly like it should be. They highlight Flip Gordon and they make Liger look good, and they don't, you know. But when they can be in control and they are in the driver's seat, and you can tell that, it's the best.
Yeah, and it's a testament. When you think about where they came from, like, yes, they were trained by Jim Kettner, and I know he's Mr. Super A, and he's a smart guy, but I'm just talking about their contemporaries. Like, yes, you could be trained well, and obviously that helped them through, but, like, when you look at, like, they came up with teams like the SAT, or Special K guys, like the Insane Dragon and Little Dixie, like, they're... The fact that they've transcended all the way through, and not only are they great wrestlers, they also have great matches. You know what I mean? Like, they put together, they're good technicians. You know what I mean? They're not just super athletic and they have super athletic. They also have really good matches. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that they ended up becoming, like, great quote-unquote workers is crazy when you think where they came from and all, like, their contemporaries at that time who didn't make that adjustment. You know what I mean?
Right, the adjustment wasn't easy. Most of those guys are gone, and they're gone for a reason, because wrestling is ever changing and ever evolving, and you have to be able to evolve with it. And that applies today. But the Briscoes came from an era that is so vastly different from what today's wrestling is, and the idea that they've just been able to flow all the way through to 2021 is wild.
Yeah, you know what I mean? They're not still doing wacky, you know. I don't know. They were doing some wacky stuff. Okay, one of the things I hated that they used to do a lot early on was the other guy would just get in the ring. Like, Mark's clearly the legal guy, but Jay would come in just to do something and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, oh, it drove me nuts on their early stuff. But they got over it. You know what I mean? They definitely learned how to do good tag matches eventually.
Yeah, and the ref sometimes would just be like, okay.
Exactly. It's just indie shows, and you're like, I don't know what to do, so I'll just let him stay in the ring.
And even super young, I didn't really know either of them when they were super young, but I can imagine even super young, they were probably pretty headstrong and knew who they were. And if an indie ref told them to get out, they probably wouldn't have taken that well.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Like, you know what I mean? Even though they've always been ass kickers, you know what I mean? Even when they were young, they were just young and scary, because it was like, oh, they're really athletic and strong and don't know yet.
Yeah, and could do anything with anyone, and they still can, and they still could, and they still are.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
It's wild. All right, so let's get down to it. What made and what makes the Briscoes so great?
Like we said, first off, just on a purely physical level, they're amazing wrestlers. They're athletic. They're strong. The thing that I think what makes them great is, it's not just that. Just that probably could have gotten by. But the fact that they got the characters, the look, the interviews, once they got all that involved, that's just greatness. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there was a point, when was it? Probably, 2010 or something, where, like, it all just came together and everybody was just like, oh, the Briscoes. You know, when them boys became a thing, like, that, you know what I mean? When you become a hashtag, you've done it right.
Yeah. And like we said, their ability to adapt, they are a very versatile team, but they don't fall into like a trap that a lot of people will fall into, where they just try to match the person they're wrestling. They don't do that. They're versatile. They can make any match a Briscoes match. They can have a Briscoes match with anybody. Their longevity, their ability, once again, I think that one of their biggest, strongest attributes is their strong know of who they are. Like, knowing who they are and not straying from it. It gives them like a compass to steer everything they do, their promos, their matches, because they know absolutely who they are and what they would and wouldn't do.
Exactly. They kind of, I alluded to it earlier, but the only comparison I really want to make them to the Steiners is like the look. You know what I mean? Like, we always mention with the Steiners, we're like, oh, you saw two guys in singlets and varsity jackets, and then you saw them wrestling. You were like, oh, yeah, I get it. It all makes sense. Nowadays, you look at them, like you said, in their ghillie suit pants or their camo pants, or Mark's got his crazy cut up pants and their crazy hair and their tattoos and their mouth full of dip and all that. And you're like, oh, I get this. You know what I mean? And then you see him wrestling, and you're like, oh, I definitely get this. But then as you watch him even longer, you're like, wow, they're not just surface level, like, bad guys. They're really good wrestlers. Like, it's a great combination.
Yeah. And once again, still at it at an incredibly high level.
Exactly. So you wrestled them with Jimmy. I wrestled them with Cloudy. One day we got to wrestle them together. And this is where we kind of got to figure out, what will we do if we wrestle them? I got to ask you, because I was a little thrown for it.
Yeah, so we've discussed a bunch of their versatility. So I don't think there's anything we can throw at them that they haven't seen. So that's an issue. We're not going to out-double team them. That's been a thing that we've gone to a bunch with teams. I don't know. I'm trying to think of times I saw them lose.
It wasn't often.
No, it really wasn't. Usually when they lost, I will say it's eliminate one member completely and then double team the other to death. Because I don't even – yeah, they like – it's like usually a murderer's row of moves that's put either of them down. I don't think I ever saw them get rolled up. I don't think I just think I either saw them win or like have to take a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, no. It's by sheer abundance. You have to beat them. Yeah, exactly. It's isolate one and then hit them with every bomb you got. That's kind of what Ricky Marvin and Kotaro Suzuki did. There was like, they just kept in moves and moves and moves.
Yeah, or I mean, unless one of us learns a Storm Cradle driver between now and then, because that seemed to do the trick.
It is possible. Oh, they were susceptible to Spanish flies? You can do one.
I was going to say, I don't think even when there was outside, when there was people on the outside for any match I watched, I don't think they ever got involved really. So I don't think that was ever a factor.
Oh, I saw Discount Dewey Donovan. Dewey. And CZW cost them the match versus them Backseat Boys.
Wow. I was going to say, I meant to ask this earlier. Were you out there for the Special K match? You were not, right?
No. No, I was not in then. I was on Ring Crew.
Was Cloudy out there with them?
Probably, yes.
I feel like I saw Cloudy in a goofy hat.
Yep, that was his thing. He had the goofy hat.
Okay, so I did see Cloudy. But yeah. I don't remember Special K really getting overly involved and costing and changing that match at all. So maybe we go back to our ECW way of beating people where we have a posse.
Yep, that's what I think. We need a posse because, they've even a few times had a posse with them too, you know what I mean? But I think, once again, it's just sheer abundance.
I never saw them get into a finish like we talk about the ECW finish. With a lot of moving parts and distractions and one in, one out, keep flowing through. I never saw them have to withstand that. So maybe we get a posse.
Or they're very susceptible to having the Doomsday device countered. So we just keep trying to make them go for that and use all of the million ways we saw to get out of it.
Okay, that's true. That's true.
My favorite is when they wrestled the Hardys and Matt just ducked and victory rolled the guy.
Well, I mean, sometimes, you know, basic is the best. Sometimes it's the most effective.
Yeah, I think we just lure them into trying to keep Doomsday devicing us, and we keep trying to either Spanish fly, reverse Rana, or victory roll them.
All right. That sounds like a plan.
See?
All right. Jay and Mark, we're coming for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Don't listen to this podcast, though, because then you'll know all the things we're going to do.
Yeah, get them ghillie pants ready.
Don't wear the ghillie pants. They're so distracting.
All right, camouflage, blend in, but we'll find you.
It felt like the ghillie pants, like even some of their strikes looked less effective because there's just so much poof and flare going on.
Too much flare for you.
It was, I'm telling you. As a person who used to wear tassels, it was too much for me.
Well, that's weird.
All right, well, that's it. We've done it. That's the Briscoes.
That's them boys.
Mark and Jay. All right. So we've trickled into an independent / Ring of Honor team. the lines are wide open now.
Yeah, I'm excited. We could look at something. Okay, I felt like we did the wacky. We'll have to go maybe something a little more mainstream, probably.
We can try.
Or we could keep trying to go wacky. Who knows?
I literally have no idea. Let's figure out sooner this time. We keep forgetting. So by the time I crammed like all those Briscoe's matches in the last 2 days.
Oh, okay. I'm not against the cram. I usually like it, but yeah, I know what you mean. We'll figure something out.
I don't mind the cram, but I like to watch like, let me watch a match. Let me watch a match. Now I'll cram like five or six in, but I like to get a couple in, like casually watch and then jam them in.
All right.
Just to give you guys a little look into my watching habits. You're welcome.
Yeah, or you people can maybe throw us some suggestions as well. That would be appreciated at DreamWorksPod.
Yeah, we need them for sure because we're not running out of teams, but we are real bad at ideas.
Yeah. So be a doll. Join us. Be helpful. Throw some suggestions.
Join us next week when we talk about Bert and Ernie.
Yeah, you damn right.
This is the part where you say adios.
Until then, adios.